that we would be filled with the Spirit tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we find what we could find in a lot of other chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes as well, which is King Solomon talking about how vain and meaningless so many of the things that he spent his time on in his life were. Just they were meaningless, they had no value, and he couldn't really figure out the purpose for some of the things that he had spent so much time doing. They didn't mean a lot to him at the end of the day. There are other times in the book of Ecclesiastes when he talks about a man who has no children, he has no relatives, and yet he goes out and works all the time, makes all this money, and then he dies, and who does he leave it to? What good is it going to do him? You know, the Bible talks about, what's a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. When, you know, you're born into this world with nothing, you're going to leave this world with nothing. We brought nothing into this world, it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And so Solomon here is listing all these different things that he did and saying they were vain, they were vexation of spirit, they were a waste of my time. I don't understand why people spend so much time doing these things. I've spent time doing them and I'm not getting any value. And what I want to preach about tonight is the subject of wasting your time on things that don't matter. Wasting your time on things that don't matter, on vain things that don't profit. He says over and over again in the book of Ecclesiastes, what was the profit of what I did under the sun? What did it gain me? What did it profit me? What good was it? What did it do? And that's the question that we ought to ask ourselves in our lives about the things that we spend our time doing. Why do we do them? What are we accomplishing? What is our goal with the things that we do? Now go, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4 in the New Testament. We'll come back to the Old Testament. But go to Colossians 4. It's one of the epistles of Paul. Right after Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter number 4. And then we're going to go straight to Ephesians chapter 5 after Colossians 4. But in Colossians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, if you go up a few verses and get the context of what he's saying, he's talking about preaching the gospel. He's talking about getting people saved. He says in verse 3, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he's saying, I'm looking for opportunities to preach the gospel and to speak God's word. And he said, the reason this is important is because in verse 5 he says, we need to redeem the time. We need to make the best possible use of time. We only have a certain amount of time on this earth. He's saying, let's not waste opportunities. Let's win people to Christ. Let's look for every opportunity to preach the gospel, to get people saved, and not waste any time. Go to Ephesians 5, just a few pages to the left in your Bible, and look at verse 16. He makes a similar statement. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then he follows up with this, wherefore, or because of that, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And, so we're still continuing on the same thought here. Wherefore is a conjunction, and is a conjunction. It's all the same thought here. He's saying, redeem the time. Don't waste time. Because of that, understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Still continuing the same thought. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And he goes on. What is the point here? He's saying, don't waste any time. Therefore, don't get drunk. And therefore, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this is just one of my points tonight. But the first thing I want to point out is the area of music. Now, music can be a big waste of time in people's lives. Right. Or it can be something that could be greatly used for the glory of God. You see, getting drunk, first of all, is a big waste of your life. It's a waste of your brain cells. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your life. You say, why did you get drunk? Oh, just for kicks. Just for fun. That's a waste of time. That's meaningless. That's vanity. Solomon said in the first verse that I showed you, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 1, he said, I said in my heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He said, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, that I might lay hold on folly. He's saying, I tried alcohol, I tried drinking, I tried just living a life of pleasure and fun, just to gratify self. He said it was vain, it was a waste of time. He said, I hated life. It did not bring ultimate satisfaction because it's waste of time. Going out, getting drunk is not anything that a Christian should ever be involved in. There's no purpose for it. It does nothing good for you. All it is just a big waste of your life and your time and your energy and your brain cells. But he says not only that, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I don't think it's coincidental that right after he says, hey, quit wasting your time, he says, hey, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I submit to you today that spending time on non-spiritual music is a waste of your time today, because it really has no value or purpose. It is vanity. Go, if you would, to Psalm 40, verse 1. Now, this is a point that makes some people upset, and they don't agree with this, but I think it's very biblical when you get down to it. God says to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Look, if you would, at Psalm 40, verse 1. The Bible reads, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And look at verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. So right here, David is saying that God had put a new song in his mouth. Now, if you read the book of Psalms, which is a song book, the longest book in the Bible, is 150 songs that were actually sung. You will find over and over again God commanding us to praise the Lord and to sing praises unto his name and to sing in the congregation, which is another word for the church. He says, sing in the church. He says, sing in your home. Praise the Lord. Praise God. But you're not going to find anywhere in the Bible telling you that music has a purpose other than praising God or teaching God's people spiritual truths. And the types of music that God tells us to sing to ourselves are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, there's music that's out there, and go if you would to Psalm 150. There's music out there that's obviously clearly sinful music. You know, if you listen to the pop music that's on the radio, if you listen to the hip-hop and the rock and R&B and whatever you're into, that music is clearly sinful music. It's made by sinful people. It promotes the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's written by people that are reprobate in many cases. It's sung by people who live a wicked and ungodly lifestyle. They promote a wicked and ungodly lifestyle in their music. But not only that, it is music that does not glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, there's nothing bad about it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But wait a minute. Is it glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it praising God? Is it teaching biblical truths? It's a complete waste of time is what it is. And I'll tell you something. By the time you've obeyed all the hundreds and hundreds of times that the Bible tells you to praise the Lord, you're not going to have any time for it anymore. Because we only have so much time in our lives, folks. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. Look at Psalm 150. It says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And just in case you didn't get it, praise ye the Lord. Just in case you didn't get it the other 10 times he just said it. Look at Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints. That's God commanding you to sing in church. It's not optional. He commands you, praise me in church, in the congregation. He says, Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. Not in their headphones, not in their speakers, but in their mouth, he says. In their bed, in church, praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Look, if you would, at Psalm 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him all his angels. Praise ye him all his hosts. Praise ye him sun and moon. Praise ye him all the stars of light. Praise him ye heaven of heavens and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. On and on and on. Verse 147, or look at verse 12. I'm sorry. Psalm 148, verse 12. Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Verse 1 of chapter 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. I mean, is this strong language? How many times is he saying it? You think it's important or not? But a lot of people don't think it's important. A lot of people would just blow past this. He says it 100 times. He says, if I have any being, if I have any consciousness at all, if I'm even just barely alive, if I'm a quadriplegic, I will sing praises to God. I mean, he's just saying, well, there's anything left of me, I'm going to sing praises to God. This is an important subject. But what are you singing throughout the week? Because by the time you fulfilled all these hundreds of commands where God is telling you how important it is to be praising him over and over and over again throughout your life, and then where do you get all this time to listen to Metallica and to listen to Britney Spears and to listen to the Ricky Martin and to listen to, you know, I'm preaching his old music. What's the new music? You know, whatever it is. Why are you singing your hip-hop and your country western and your R&B and your rockabilly and your rock and roll? You know, I frankly just don't have time for it.
Amen.
Because I'm too busy singing praises to God like he told me to do 100 times. This is just a few. I mean, look, that was all from one page in my Bible. I haven't even turned the page. Psalm is a pretty long book. I mean, I can show you page after page. This is an important subject. And yet we spend so much time on vain music. And people will argue about whether or not this music is bad, or is it sinful, or is it wrong. You know what? I don't even have time for it. Because I'm too busy singing praises to God if I'm obeying this book right here. Now, people will say, well, what about, you know, what about classical music? Or what about, you know, these different songs? Now, I remember when I learned how to play piano, the first song I learned was Three Blind Mice on the piano. You know, do, 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 do. Does everybody know that song?
Yeah.
So I learned how to play Three Blind Mice. My sister Ronnie taught me that. Now, let me ask you, what is the spiritual value of Three Blind Mice? What is that teaching you? What is that praising God? Now, you say, well, was that a waste of time that you learned Three Blind Mice? I'll tell you this, it was not a waste of time because that's how I learned how to play piano. And learning how to play piano wasn't a waste of time because I used playing the piano to glorify God in the church and to praise God with it. But I'll tell you something. And so, you know, I'm not against learning how to play, you know, little ditties to get going or to learn how to play piano. Nothing wrong with learning how to play songs that have no meaning. But you know, if that's why you're learning piano, if that's why you're learning guitar, if that's why you're learning the organ, is so that you can grow up and play a bunch of meaningless music, you are wasting your time, you're wasting your life. It's worthless, it's vain. Because I'll tell you something, you can sit there and become the greatest piano player in the world, and you can go and you can, you know, put on your fancy clothes and play all your concertos and sonatas and play all your fancy music. But I'll tell you something, I would much rather have somebody sit down and play the piano in church and play the hymns. I don't care. I'd rather listen to that any day of the week.
Amen.
It has more value. I don't care how good somebody is. I mean, ooh, wow, you can move your hands all over that keyboard. But what purpose is it? What does it mean? What are those songs about? You look at the music that's out there. It has no meaning. It has no value. It's vanity. And people spend so much time and energy, and they get so into it, and it's a waste. And you know, my children are learning how to play the piano. You know what? I hope that their purpose is to play piano in church. You know, my son recently played piano in a piano recital. And I told him, I said, you know what the real recital? I said, the real recital is when you play it on Sunday night. That's the recital I care about. I said, that recital that you go to and play in is vanity compared to you playing in church. That's what matters. That's the recital. That's the only performance that I want to hear that means anything. Because honestly, you can spend your life on music that's meaningless, or you can spend your life on psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And whether or not people agree with what I'm saying right now, it's the truth. It's a waste of time. And you could get so good at it, or you could spend so much time memorizing all the lyrics and singing all the songs and collecting all your CDs and collecting all your tapes and collecting all your LPs and your vinyl. You're not going to take it with you, and God is not impressed with it. And I've realized that in my life. And you say, well, music has other purposes. Really? What are they? Because from what I see, the purpose of music is to glorify God. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that for His pleasure, all things were and are created to bring pleasure to God. And the creatures that are in heaven, they sing praises to God all day long. And they are not just singing meaningless nonsense. You know, you listen to, what is rock and roll about? All it's about is like,
garbage.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It's like, oh, I met her, and it was this love at first sight, and we, you know, every song's about the same thing. It's just about love and getting, you know, falling in love, and blah, blah. And then country music is all about, you know, she done been cheating, and you know, or whatever, you know. And my dog done died, and I done lost my job, and whatever. You know, it's just all this, look, once you're saved, and once you're filled with the Spirit, and once you're living for God, do you ever go back and listen to that music and just wonder, like, what is this about? This is stupid. This means nothing. And you're like, yeah, but I love that song. And it's like, but then when you listen to the words, it's meaningless. It has no point. And you say, well, the music I listen to has no words. Yeah, but it's like, what is it teaching you? What is the point? Is it glorifying God? And look, there are things in life, and this is kind of what this whole sermon comes down to. There are things in life that are not sinful things. Nothing wrong with Solomon planting a vineyard. But let me ask you this. Was he planting that vineyard because he needed those grapes in order to feed himself and his family? No. Nothing wrong with planting an orchard. But was he planting that orchard to provide food for himself and others because they needed the food? I mean, was he planting those pools of water, you know, so that his kid could go swimming and give him a break for a couple hours a day? You know, what was his point? He had no point. He was just doing it just to do it. I mean, he flat out said, I was just trying to find something to do with my life. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted vineyards. I planted pools of water. I planted trees. He was reforesting. I mean, he was doing everything. But there was no value in it. It didn't mean anything to him. You know, and look, if my children are going to learn a bunch of classical music so that they can just grow up and just be able to just really wow people. Because look, I grew up playing classical music. Okay, I didn't learn how to play the hymns until I was an older teenager. Most of what I learned growing up all the way until my late teens was classical music. And you know what that got me in life? This is what it got me. I'm at a party somewhere. I'm in a group somewhere of friends. And I say, oh, I could play the piano. And I could sit down and do what? Impress people. What is that worth? Nothing. I could sit down and play a couple fancy songs and, ooh, wow, you know how to play the piano. So what? Isn't that just pride? I mean, isn't that just vanity? I mean, and look, isn't it just an empty feeling? You've spent years, and I mean, it's so hard to learn how to play the piano. I mean, I know some people it comes naturally. It was very hard for me to learn how to play the piano. I mean, just years and years of practicing for hours and hours a week so that I could be cool at a party for 5 minutes. That's what it came down to, folks. And then I started learning how to play the hymns, and I could see, okay, this has value. This is praising God. This is something that I can use in church. This is something that can be a blessing to other people. That means something. That matters. And so you need to get the perspective right in your life about these things. And go, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, was all of my classical piano playing in vain? Well, you know what? A lot of what I learned in classical piano playing, I was able to apply unto the hymns. Because obviously I learned how to read music, I learned a lot about chords, and I learned a lot about scales and things. You know, a lot of that knowledge was able to cross over for me and help me out. But honestly, the learning of the classical music, if that was the goal, if that was the end, you know what? That wasn't really a very valuable goal. But if it was a stepping stone that at least got me to learning the hymns, honestly, when I started learning hymns, I kind of had to go back and relearn because it was so different style. But the bottom line is, though, that playing the hymns is really the only thing I've done of eternal value. Because I don't think I'm going to get to heaven and God's just going to say, wow, you know, that Beethoven that you played, that was great. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. You know, that was great. But you know what? I think he will be glad that I praised him. I think he will be glad that I praised him on an instrument of 10 strings in the congregation of the saints, because that's what he told me to do. And so that has value. And so, you know, you got to be careful that you don't spend a bunch of time on something that's vain. Now, it's depressing to spend a lot of time on something and it turns out you wasted your time and it was all a big waste, right? We've all done it. Look, if you would, at where did I have you turn? 1 Corinthians 10 says this in verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do. Look at those three words. Whatsoever ye do. Anything you do, he's saying. Do all to the glory of God. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Go to the right in your Bible a little bit. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse 17, it says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Look at verse 23, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So three times in the Bible he uses that phrase, whatsoever ye do. And he says, whatsoever ye do, do it to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do it to the glory of God. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. That tells me that God is my biggest audience. God's the one that I'm working for. God's my boss. God's the one who gives me my paycheck. God is the most important person to please, not man. That is what it's all about. God is more important than man. God should be the purpose behind everything that I do. Now, whether I eat or drink, we probably wouldn't normally think of eating and drinking as a spiritual activity. But why do we eat and drink? The Bible says we should eat for strength. And you know, if I'm spending my life serving God, I'm eating so that I get the calories so I can go burn them serving God. So I can burn them reading my Bible. So I can burn them preaching the gospel. So I can burn them in His service. And you know, when I go to work for 40 hours or 60 hours or 80 hours, when I go to work, you know what I'm doing? I'm obeying God. I'm providing for my family. I'm paying my bills. I'm supporting my wife and children like God commanded me to do. I never get up in the morning and wonder, why am I going to work today? I already know why I'm going to work today. Because I'm trying to pay my bills. Because I'm supporting my family. Because God told me to do that. You know, when I sit down to play the hymns on the piano, I know why I'm doing it. When I sing praises to God, I know why I'm doing it. When I read my Bible, I can tell you exactly why I'm doing it. When I go out and knock doors soul winning, I can tell you exactly why I'm doing it. It's a good reason that I have for what I'm doing. But when I sit down to play a video game, sometimes it's hard to come up with a good reason for that. And I might not know why I'm doing it. Because it can be something that's just a waste of time. Now look, what I'm talking about is that there are things that are not necessarily sin. God didn't command you not to do these things. But are these things becoming a big waste of time in your life? Are you spending... And we have so many things today that can suck up our time. And sometimes people ask me how I get so much done. They're like, how do you get so much done? How do you get all this stuff done? And honestly, part of the reason is just trying to make good use of my time. You know, just trying not to waste a lot of time on things that don't matter. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I waste time on stuff that doesn't matter. Okay? I'm not a perfect human being. I'm not getting up here trying to say that I'm perfect and that every minute I use of my life is for a purpose. But you know what? That ought to be our goal, though. We ought to use our time wisely. You know, if I'm spending time with my wife, you know, there's a purpose for that. Because that's part of what God wants me to do, is to build a marriage and to build a relationship and a friendship with my wife. When I'm spending time with my children, there's a goal there. There's a meaning there. When I'm going to church, there's a purpose to it. You know, sometimes people spend so much time on things about, like for example, sitting in front of the TV. What is that doing for you? What is your purpose? I mean, when you plop down in front of the TV, I'm sorry, don't tell me it's educational. You know, oh, I'm just learning so much. It's been proven so many times that TV does not make you smarter, it makes you dumber. Okay? So if your goal with TV is to get smarts, you need to get a book and start reading a book, because it's been proven a million different ways that reading a book is going to teach you a lot more than sitting in front of the TV. And if TV is so educational, why is everybody so dumb ever since it's been invented? Why did everybody get dumb? Why is it that people who sit in front of it all day are the dumbest people you'll ever talk to, if it makes you so smart, if it's so educational? If so many kids are watching so much educational programming, why are they more ignorant today than they've been in the history of our nation? I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't make you smarter. It makes you dumb. That's why it's called the idiot box. And I'm not the one who made up that term. It's been called for decades, the idiot box. Sitting in front of the idiot box. Because it makes you an idiot. Because it makes you stupid. Because it's a waste of time. Because you could be spending your time reading the Bible, getting wisdom and knowledge and understanding and smarts. Instead, you sit in front of the idiot box and watch nonsense and waste your life and waste your time. It's a waste of time. You know what? I got rid of my TV when I got married. For one reason. I didn't even have a conviction about it. I didn't even think, oh, it's sinful, it's wicked, I need to get rid of it. I got rid of it for one reason. Because I didn't think it was wicked. Because I would still watch it sometimes at my parents' house or at my friend's house. But I said, I'm not having that thing in my house because it's a waste of my time. And I said, you know what? I said, my wife is newly saved. I won my wife to Christ not a really long time before we got married. And so I just thought to myself, you know, I'm newly married. I'm going to work. My wife's at home. I don't want my wife sitting in front of the TV. And I'm not saying she would have done that. She wasn't really a TV watcher. I watched a lot more TV growing up than she did. Okay. But I just thought to myself, you know, I don't want her to sit in front of the TV when she could be doing something that matters. And I didn't want to come home and plop down in front of the TV. And let's face it, when it's there, you just plop down in front of it and turn it on. It's just so easy to just turn it on. And I got rid of it because I said, you know, I don't want that thing to waste my time. There's too much knowledge that I need to gain. There's too much Bible reading that I need to do. There's too many other things that I could be doing that aren't wasting my time as much as that TV. And sitting in front of the TV and sitting on video games all day is a waste of time. Okay? It's not making you any smarter. It's not teaching you any skills that are going to help you on your job. You know, if you're getting trained and trying to learn more so you can do a better job at your work, that's not a waste of time. If you're an electrician and you're reading books on how to be an electrician, that's not a waste of time, okay? If you're a computer programmer and you read a book about how to program computers so that you can do a better job at your job, that's not a waste of time. If you read your Bible, that's not a waste of time. If you spend quality time with your wife, that's not a waste of time. If you spend time training and teaching your children, that's not a waste of your time. But sitting around and fooling around on TV and video games is a big waste of time. It's a fact. And it'd be one thing if people said, well, this is something I do once a month. once a month I sit down and play this video game for an hour. But that's not what people do. It gets addictive and they're on it every day and they're just blown away. And here's what some people will say. Well, what else am I supposed to do with my time? But here's the thing. There's so much else you could be doing with your time. So much else that you could be doing instead of doing that. You know, and look, I'm not telling you what to do. Honestly, if that's what you want to do, do it. You know, I'm not telling you what to do, but, you know, me personally, I want to do something with my life that matters. You know, I want to get to the end of my life and have accomplished something for our Lord. I don't want to sit there and just say, well, you know, I made it through life. I killed time. I got through another day, and I survived and hung in there. No, I'm trying to do something with my life and not just waste time. I want to redeem the time. That means I'm not wasting it. You know, like, let's say you have a bottle, right? And it says redemption value 5 cents, right? Well, if you just threw it away, you're basically wasting that 5 cents. You're wasting that bottle, okay? Obviously, it's probably not even worth it for the 5 cents. But this is an illustration, okay? But if you redeemed it, now God didn't command us to redeem our bottles, so I'm probably going to throw it in the trash, okay? But here's the thing, if you throw it in the trash, you're not getting anything out of it. Are you getting 5 cents? You're getting nothing. It's a waste, right? But if you redeem it, you're basically getting something valuable in return, right? So I'm turning in a big bucket of cans, and in return I'm getting cash, and that cash can be used for something valuable. Now I know the redemption value is so low that it's not worth the time. By the time you drive down to the redemption center, you know, you just burned up in gas, whatever you're going to get. But it's an illustration of what the word redemption means. Your time isn't worth 5 cents. Now, that bottle's only worth 5 cents. Your time isn't worth 5 cents. Your time is worth a lot. Your time can be translated into winning souls, reading the Bible, praising God, serving God, training your children, spending time with your wife, being in church. Okay? Gaining knowledge, gaining wisdom, gaining understanding, preaching the Word of God. When you waste it and you don't trade in your time for that which is valuable, he's saying that's when you're not redeeming the time. Redeeming the time would be taking your time and using it for something valuable, getting the payout, you know, not 5 cents, but getting the payout of souls saved, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. A relationship with your wife, a relationship with your children, serving God, souls saved, people that you've taught the Bible, teaching your children the Bible, teaching your family the Bible, being an encouragement to someone, just doing something that matters with your life, making money that you need to pay your bills and to provide the needs that you have. You see, everything that you do should have a purpose today. And there are so many things on the internet today, because the internet provides so much entertainment right at your fingertips, it's really easy to get sucked into wasting a lot of time on there. See, when I was a kid and there were 6 channels on the TV, it was a temptation, but you know what? Sometimes there was just nothing on. You ever look at the TV and you sat down as a kid and you got your 6 channels and you know you're twisting the knob, it's before the remote, you know, you twist the knob and, you know, you go to your 6 channels. And you ever say this, man, there's nothing on. There's nothing on. And what'd you do? Something else. You know, okay, I guess I'll read the Bible. You know, or I guess I'll read a book. Or I guess we'll play a game. I guess we'll go run around and play outside. We're going to do something else. And you know, at least running around playing outside actually had the value of keeping you healthy or getting you in shape. You know, at least you're doing that for your health. If you go running or if you exercise or play a game of basketball or something. You know, going out and playing basketball, I can see justification for that. That's keeping you alive. You know, with our lifestyle where we sit around all day and eat a bunch of junk food. You know, yeah, getting out and playing a little basketball is probably adding years to your life. But you know what? Sitting on the couch and watching basketball probably isn't doing anything for you. That's a really big waste of time. Amen. Memorizing every player when you don't even know the 12 disciples? You don't even know the 12 disciples. But you could tell me the 12 players that are on, you know, I don't even know what era. Does Arizona even have a basketball team? What is it called?
The Suns.
The Suns. Yeah, well, it's hot here. It makes sense. So, you know, and I know there's like five people that are play basketball at one time on the court, right? But the team's probably got like 12 people on it, right? Approximately? Correct me if I'm wrong. There's five on the court. There's probably like seven on the bench, right? You probably know, and some people probably know those 12. They don't know the 12 disciples. I'd rather know the 12 disciples, okay? Now, I'm not against basketball, but, you know, I'll go out and play basketball before I sit around and watch it on my sorry, lazy rear end as I just waste my life away watching every game instead of serving God with my life. I'd much rather get out there and do it, if anything. But honestly, you know, we need to stop and evaluate. And people have accused me of attacking all the hobbies I don't like and propping up all the hobbies I do like. But honestly, that is not the test for me whether I like it or not. You know, I have a lot of hobbies, okay? But what I do is when I choose a hobby, I try to choose a hobby that somehow glorifies God. You know what I mean? Or at least somehow helps me as a person or helps someone else. Those are the kind of hobbies I choose. Like my wife has hobbies that she does. You know, she does, what are your hobbies, honey? No, she does, like she'll do like canning and cooking and sewing. Are these your hobbies, honey? She's like, that's my job. I have to do that stuff. Yeah, her hobbies are like cleaning bathrooms, doing laundry. You know, her hobbies are... Changing diapers is a big hobby for her. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, you know, I'm not against you having fun. And anybody who knows me knows I like to have fun and do stuff. And I'm not against you having fun and blowing off a little steam. But when that's the biggest thing that you're doing in life, when that becomes a major part of your life, something's wrong when your life revolves around stock car racing. You know, your life revolves around basketball statistics. Your life revolves around... Nothing wrong with having fun, playing a game, having a hobby. And I'm not against those things. I'm not against hobbies. But wouldn't it be good to have a hobby that actually brought glory to God? Like, for example, if your hobby is, you know, as my wife is canning and cooking and stuff like that, you know what? At least she's feeding the family like God told her to do. You know, and if your hobby is playing guitar, maybe you have a hobby of playing guitar. Maybe your hobby is playing the piano. Maybe you play another instrument. That's great. Why don't you channel that toward serving God? You know, and let's say you do have a hobby of playing basketball, and you love basketball, and that's what keeps you in shape and keeps you healthy. Why not give the gospel to the players that you play with? There wouldn't be anything wrong with that at all. Because I think, you know what, I think our lifestyles today, we do sit around a lot. You know, if you had a job where you were out working in the field all day, you probably wouldn't really need sports and exercise. But you know what, in our society where we sit around a lot, you know, it is probably good to get some exercise and to stay in shape. And I know that when I've started doing a lot more exercise and getting involved a little bit in sports over the last few years, and it's just helped me feel a lot better and just think more clearly, and it's just helped me to be more healthy as a person. I think it's great. But you know what? You should try to honor and glorify God with it and use it as a way to win souls. That way what you're doing is for the glory of God. You're saying, you know what? I'm going out there and I'm playing, you know, I'm boxing or I'm playing basketball or I'm playing soccer because I want to keep my body in shape so that I can, you know, so I don't get tired after soul winning for 20 minutes because I can't even walk down the street. And my wife told me this. I don't know if this is true, but my wife told me this morning. Whether this is true or not, God knoweth. But she told me this morning, she said that there are people that can't even walk down the street and back because they're so out of shape. And I said, what? I said, anybody can walk. I mean, maybe they can't run. But she said, no, there are people who can't even walk down the street and back. Well, you're not going to be a very effective soul winner if you're that out of shape. So yeah, if you're involved in sports, I think that's great if your goal is to be in shape. And you know what another goal could be? To win people to Christ. You could make friends on the team and win them to Christ. And I know that, I had a visitor in church a few months ago from the boxing gym. You know, because when I'm down there, I'm giving the gospel. I'm trying to preach to people. Because that's what we ought to do, is to be open in our mouth. And you know, if you're involved in you know, whatever groups, and let's say you're involved in a group of moms that are, you know, buying produce, or let's say you're involved in a sports team, or let's say you're involved in a gym. You know, that's great, but do it for the glory of God. You know, use it to serve God. Now, I got to hurry up. I got to get off that point. I'm not against hobbies. Just use hobbies to serve God. Don't just waste a lot of time on stuff that really just has no value physically, spiritually, mentally, nothing. But think about this. The Bible told us, and I just want to hit a few points and I'm done. The Bible told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? I don't believe that anything that we do that God told us to do is ever a waste of time. Ever. If God told us to do it and we go do it, that's not a waste of time. That's obeying God. That pleases Him. That's what our whole life is supposed to be. To bring pleasure and glory to Him. That's never a waste of time. But you know what? There are certain things that people spend a lot of time doing as a church that God didn't tell them to do. Like, for example, there was a guy who came through and he was going to start a church. And he told me that for the first six weeks, he was just going to hand out flyers to start the church. And I told him, I said, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. Because I said, first of all, God never told us to just go out and hand out a bunch of flyers. He told us to preach the gospel. And I said, number two, I said, if you hand out a lot of flyers, it's possible. I said, is it possible that you could hand out flyers for 5 or 6 weeks and nobody will show up at your first service? Is that possible? And he said, oh yeah, that is possible. Now I know because I've done it. Now when I started the church, I didn't start the church that way. I started the church through just pure soul winning. But I've been out with groups of people handing out flyers to the tune of 10,000, 20,000 and had no one show up. It is very possible to hand out 10,000 flyers and have nobody come to church. And it takes a long time to hand out 10,000 flyers. Now I said, what's your goal? What's your purpose in handing out a flyer? And he said, well, the goal is that people will come to church, right? So I said, okay, so if you spend 40 hours out handing out flyers and no one comes to church, did you accomplish your goal? No. Did you accomplish anything? No. And I said, what if you go out soul winning for those 40 hours? Instead of handing out flyers for 40 hours, what if you go out soul winning for 40 hours? I said, what's your purpose in soul winning? Well, you have two purposes. Number one is to get people saved. Number two is to get visitors to come to church. And I said, what if you spent 40 hours out soul winning and you got a few people saved and then nobody came to church? Did you waste your time? No. And I said, you know what? Either way, you might have nobody show up at your church. You know, when you're starting a church, it's hard to start a church. I thank God when we started the church, the first Sunday, we got here and I knocked doors soul winning for 3 days. And on our first Sunday, we had nine people in the morning service. It was my family was five, and then we had four visitors in the morning service after 3 days of knocking doors. And then that night, we had my family and two visitors, okay? But here's the thing, okay? I never thought to myself, because in the subsequent weeks, sometimes our attendance would be really low and there'd be no visitors. Like I'd go soul winning the whole week and no new visitors. But I never felt like I was wasting my time because I was always winning souls. I was always giving the gospel. I was always preaching the word. People were always getting saved. And I just don't want to waste my time. And even if what if I went out and handed out 10,000 flyers and spent all that time? And then one visitor showed up, and then he never comes back. It's like, okay, what was that for? What did that accomplish? Wow, a guy came to church once. But if you get somebody saved, they're saved forever. And that is a great reward right there. That's a blessing. And so what I'm saying is, ask yourself, why do you do the things you do? And it'll help you make a smarter decision about what you end up doing. You know, and honestly, people today, they spend too much time into the wrong things. You know, and another great example is politics. Politics is something that can be a waste of time. Honestly. Our country is going down the tubes. You can't stop it, and I can't stop it. You know? And whatever person that you want to get elected that you think is going to fix everything, that's not going to fix everything. Now, I'm not saying not to be a good citizen and to try to push for what's right and try to stand up for what's right and try to stand up for freedom politically. I think that's great to stand up for those things. And I've taken part in standing up for those things. I've been involved in politics, but you know what? Politics has never been my major emphasis and it never will. And anybody who tells you that that's my big emphasis is a liar, because anybody who knows me knows that I spend very little time on politics compared to what I spend my time on everything else. I spend more time on spiritual things because spiritual things matter more. And I, you know, honestly, what is going to happen when your golden boy gets elected? You know, is that going to make every sodomite become straight? Is that going to resurrect every aborted baby from the tomb? Is that going to cause every person in our nation who thumbs their nose at God and blasphemes God? Look, that's the problem.
That's right.
I mean, that I just explained to you the problem in a few seconds. I mean, that's why things are going bad.
Yep.
Things are going bad for one reason: wickedness. And you know what? Getting somebody elected is not going to fix that. Now, it might slow down the process. It might help us to have a little more tranquility and a little more peace in our lives and be able to serve God with a little more freedom a little bit longer. But it's not really going to fix the problem. And so I'm not going to dedicate my life to a political battle, and I never will. And I will not die for this country. I will not go to prison for this country or spill my blood for this country, because it's too late for this country. I will spill my blood for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll go to prison for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I love Him. You know what? I just don't love our country enough to do that. Because our country is going down a sinful path. And I can't stop it from going down that path. Now, the best thing I can do to stop it from going down that path is to get up here and scream and yell and preach the Bible and try to preach righteousness and holiness and cleanliness and godliness. And then I can go out and knock doors and take my Bible and try to get people saved and get as many people saved as I can. You know, I think that'll do a lot. That'll go a long way. More than your political rally will. More than you becoming a precinct committeeman will. That's going to do more. You know, and I thank God there have been people in our church. You know, let's take Chris Broughton, for example. I don't want to embarrass Chris Broughton, but I'm going to. No. Let's take Chris Broughton. You know, when Chris Broughton got saved, okay, and when Chris Broughton got in this church right here, you know, I noticed that he went from being really involved in politics to spending a lot of time out soul winning and a lot of time in church. But I've noticed other people that were really political, because Chris Broughton was a political activist kind of a guy in his own way. But I noticed that other people that were a political activist kind of people, we went them to Christ, and guess what? That's still their main thing. Politics is still their main thing. And religion is secondary to them. The Bible takes a backseat to politics. Church takes a backseat. But honestly, I can say from observing Chris Broughton, since he's been saved and baptized, Chris Broughton's emphasis has been more spiritual than political. And you know what? That's the right way to have his emphasis. And you know what? The other people had the wrong emphasis, and you could tell that their life didn't go right because of it. Because they just spent way... They got saved, and that's great, but they spent way too much time just fighting a political battle and not caring about soul winning. Not caring about church. Not caring about the things of God in the Bible. You know what? That is vanity. It's a waste of time. You know, you're accomplishing so much more when you're out winning souls. You know, and I thank God for Him spending many, many, you know, hundreds of hours in the last few years out soul winning. You know, because that's where it's at. That's the thing that matters. That's never a waste of time. I know. I mean, I look at some stuff I've done politically before and just wondered, like, was I wasting my time with that? You know what I mean? But whenever I look at my soul winning and my service to God, I never think that. Because I know that's a winning battle. You know, you can spend all this time getting so-and-so and so-and-so elected. But you know what? What about when they don't get elected? Well, we still opened a lot of people's eyes. Great. I'm all for opening their eyes. But are they going to heaven? Did they clean up their life? Are they in a Bible-believing church now? You know what? People's eyes are going to be open when they get saved more than anything. The Bible says that's what's going to open your eyes. That's what's going to take you out of the darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. And so, look, does it mean that I don't ever play sports? No, I do play sports from time to time. Does it, you know, I play football about once a year at the church picnic. We throw a football, you know, but I do get involved in sporting events here and there. But you know what? It's got to take a backseat to other things. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. Does it mean I'm against sports? No. Does it mean that I'm against politics? Am I against being involved politically? No. I've done my own political stuff. You know, I think it's good to do our part to basically at least be a voice for the truth and stand up for what's right. Does it mean that I'm against entertainment and having fun and blowing off a little steam, spending time with your family, having a good time? But you know what? That is not the major emphasis of your life. That's like the icing on the cake of your life. The meat and potatoes of your life. The vegetables of your life. The dairy of your life. The whole grains of your life should be about obeying God, serving God, glorifying God. And basically, you know, Tetris, okay? And, you know, and whatever else. That should, I mean, that's like popping a ho-ho in your mouth. You know, and basically this is the whole grain bread, it's right here. You know, and popping a ho-ho in your mouth every once in a while is not going to kill you. But a steady diet of ho-hos will kill you. And, you know, today with the internet, there's never nothing on. You know, we say, oh, there's nothing on TV. There's always something on the internet. I mean, on the internet, you can watch whatever you want, anytime you want, it's right there. And if you want to spend your time on that internet, you can. And you can waste your life. And you know, Facebook is there for you to stalk, you know, every person you've ever known in your whole life. It's true. And Facebook is there so you can figure out what your, you know, your third grade class is up to. You know, and honestly, you can sit there and scroll down that thing and just, oh, what's everybody doing? You know, what's everybody saying? You know what? But honestly, there's a lot better things you could be doing with your time than sitting on Facebook. I'm not saying it's wrong to go on there. I'm not saying it's wrong to blow off a little steam for a couple minutes or something. But you know what? It is wrong to spend a long time on that thing. Because it's wrong to spend a long time on anything that's not accomplishing anything. And you are not... You know, it's like my wife says to the kids a lot. When she sees them doing something that is a waste of time, she'll be like, is somebody going to pay you to grow up and you know, do that? Like, are you going to get a job growing up and building, you know, Darta tracks or whatever, you know, these little games they play? And, you know, it's fine to play those games, but she said, nobody's going to pay you to do that when you grow up. And nobody's going to pay you, unless it's the federal government, nobody's going to pay you to sit on Facebook all day monitoring everyone's activities. You know what I mean? You're not going to get a job like that. And honestly, people just spend so much time, you know, building their Farmville and their Mafiaville and their, you know, Mushroomville, you know, or, you know, and your Jewelville and what, you know. What is it? Somebody call them out. Get it off your chest. What is it? What is it, though? What are they called? There's Cityville, Farmville, Townville, just everything with Ville. Just name something, put Ville after it. What? Petville? Is there really a Petville? Can anyone verify that Petville exists? So, basically, you go on there, and, you know, you're throwing virtual doggy biscuits onto your doggy, or you're... You know, building a farm. And it's like, some of these people, they put so much into it. You could probably, if you would invest that much time, you could build like a real town. You know, you could build like a real farm. You could build a real business. Okay. And so, those things are designed to be addictive. Because they want you on there to see all the advertising and everything they're going to throw at you. You know, honestly, you just need to just peel yourself away from that thing and pick up a book. Now, I've noticed this in my life. And people develop unhealthy habits. I've noticed this in my life. Because I have to work on the computer a lot. A lot of the work I do is on a computer for my business. Because these days, when you run a business, you spend a lot of time doing it on the computer. Who has a job where they're in front of a computer all day? A couple people, okay? And you know what? I've noticed this. If I read, and when I say read, I don't mean I'm on the internet reading. I'm saying if I read a book, like a physical book, right before I go to bed. This is just something I've learned from experience. If I pick up the Bible and read it, or if I pick up another book and read it right before bed, I go to bed and I instantly fall asleep like a baby. And I sleep good all night and I wake up refreshed. But if I'm on the computer and then I go to bed, I sit there and lay awake and can't fall asleep and don't sleep right. Has anybody else ever experienced something like that? It's like you go to bed and your eyes are still flickering and your eye, you know, you're just... It's true. I mean, for me, it's like clockwork because I've been experimenting with it lately. And if I have to work real late on the computer, sometimes what I'll do, I'll turn off the computer, I'll sit down and read for like 10 minutes. And it helps me go to sleep so much better, way better. And so, honestly, a lot of this, you know, staying up till 2 in the morning on the computer, staying up till 3 in the morning, and then, you know, I'm waking up, it's a bad lifestyle. It's not healthy. And people are getting addicted because it's so fun. Because there's so much cool stuff on there. It's too fun. And I always told people, when I was a kid, the video games were so lame, you didn't get that addicted to them. You got sick of them. You know, you play a little Pac-Man, and it's like, okay, this is getting boring. But today, the games are so cool, they can suck you in. I'm not going to spend my life on it. I want to redeem the time. I want to spend my life on something that matters. I'm not going to waste my time on the world's music. I don't want to waste my time on games that don't matter and watching TV and stuff. You know what? I'd rather have maximum time to read my Bible, go soul winning, pray, go to church, spend time with family. And you know what else I've noticed too? Sometimes people whose kids are brats, they're the people who, like, you know, if somebody sneezes on Facebook, they're there to click like. They're the ones who are saying, good night, Facebook. Okay? Those people are people whose kids are brats sometimes. You know why? Because a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. That's why. And it would be impossible for you to be on Facebook all day and to be spending time with your children all day. And so, okay, I guess now it's Mother's Day. Here's the Mother's Day tie-in, folks. It is a holiday. I know I preached a sermon about it this morning. I'm tying it in right now. Listen, mother, you need to focus more on being a mother and turn off Facebook and your kids will be more well-behaved.
Amen.
When you sit down with them on the couch and read a book to them, and when you have them in the kitchen with you cooking, and when you take them to the store with you, and when you read to them, and when you get out the chalkboard and teach them things and homeschool them instead of unschooling, your kids will become better behaved as a result. But when you're on the computer saying, shut up, leave me alone, shut up for a minute, you know, I got to do this, I got to type this status, I got to blog this. You know what? Honestly, I've just noticed it. I've noticed that people who spend an inordinate amount of time on the computer, their kids get bratty. And the people who spend less time on there, spend more time raising their kids are more better behaved, better socialized, because somebody's talking to them all day instead of ignoring them. Just get out of my sight. I'm on Facebook. I'm feeding my virtual child right now. I'm feeding my virtual pet. I'm with my virtual family right now. And it's funny and it's a joke, but it's not going to be funny when your kid grows up and is a brat because you didn't take the time to raise it. That's not going to be funny because you were too into other stuff. So you need to basically get your priorities right and do things that matter in your life. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God, and thank you for giving us something valuable to do with our life, because, Lord, if I wasn't saved, I don't even know what I would do with my life. I'd probably be like Solomon, trying to build a bunch of stuff and plant a bunch of vineyards and just keep asking myself, why am I doing this? What is the purpose of it? Because the life that's not about serving you is meaningless. And so, God, thank you for giving us meaning and purpose to our lives. But help us not to go back into Egypt of wasting our lives on nothingness and listening to music that's about nothing. Help us to spend our lives serving you and glorifying you, the one thing that matters. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.